All right.
Tonight we're talking about the battle within. I said earlier that we're in the book of Acts, Acts 16 through verse 31. And we'll start right there. This is about Paul and Silas, by the way, and their imprisonment and what brought that about. So as we read here, keep that in mind. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. The Philippian jailer saved. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chairs were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." I want to read another couple of verses here too. I'm reading from Matthew 24, 6 and 7. It's page 28 if you wanted to turn there. It says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." And one more verse before we move on. It's from the book of Luke 21, verses 9 and 10. It's on page 90. We see the word spoken again. It says, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." I'm here tonight to talk about the battle within us. And I have a message that is, it's all of us are fighting a battle, whether we realize it or not. And the only way that you can be victorious in this war is to be on the right side. And that right side is Jesus Christ. And I'm talking about a war between good and evil, and a war between the powers of darkness and the power of heaven, and a battle between light and darkness. See, the war is about an eternal destiny and of every man and woman and child and on the face of this earth. From Adam to the very last child that's born, this battle encompasses everyone. Signs of this great battle are on the souls of men everywhere. All you have to do is look around and you can see the battle scars. They come in many forms and fashions. Some might be wounded emotionally. Some are not able to cope with the everyday life. The pressures that are there. Some succumb to that. Some can't make it unless they take some kind of medication. The devil's got them beat down so far. Some carry around scars of guilt and shame. Some carry a wounded spirit or a broken heart that sends them over the edge and makes them feel like it's just not worth living. See, the weapons in this war aren't bullets and knives, but words, prayer, sin, and faith, and the lack thereof. See, Satan's arsenals are filled with temptation, loaded fiery darts of passion. He lays traps and sets minefields, waiting for us to just wander into them. A lot of times we do wander into them simply because of lack of direction. We don't follow. We don't follow God. Instead, we just kind of run off in our own direction or we follow somebody else. He's an enemy that is out to kill, steal, and destroy everything that he can, including your very soul. See, the battlefield is your family. It's your relationship. It's your friendships. It's your job, your finances. The battlefield is your home. And anything that could bring you peace, happiness, or love, that's the battlefield.
Amen.
See, God's weapons of this warfare, love and faith, prayer and a sound mind, gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb and the cross of Christ, that's His weapons. See, God's weapons are more powerful than the devil's, but none of them can be used without faith and trust in God to make them work. See, the problem is that most people won't use God's weapons because they don't want to surrender their will to God's will. They want to do it on their own. See, when an addict is fighting for their life, doing everything in their power to overcome whatever has them bound, whether it be drinking or pornography or smoking or chewing, whatever it is, it's a fight with eternal consequences. See, too many try to fight this battle with nothing more than willpower. But willpower isn't in itself is not strong enough to break that kind of bondage. I tell you why. It's not just a physical battle that we're involved in here. It's a spiritual battle.
Amen.
You see? See, Satan's got us fooled. He's got this world fooled. He's got everybody looking at the immediate situation. Whatever it is that's facing them right now. We tend to put out the closest fire, don't we? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We don't take a step back and look at the big picture. The big picture is that it's a spiritual battle. And until we address that in a spiritual way, will continue to be subject to the wiles of Satan. You know, this past Sunday in church, our pastor spoke about kings. And he said when they got ready to go into battle, the battlefield would be down here and there would be a king from one army here and a king from another army here. And they were set up there so that they could see all that was going on. Same goes for us. If we can take a step back and look at the overall circumstances that's going on around us and make a good assessment and do it through the eyes of Christ, then we can begin change in our lives for a positive way. Instead of being down there on the fighting field with nothing but death around us. Let me tell you, if you're living in this world, that's all there is around you is death. It might not be physical death, but spiritual death. And that lasted a lot longer. See, that's eternal. I want to look at the Apostle Paul. You know, Paul was an addict before he was an apostle. Did you know that? Now, he didn't take drugs and he wasn't hooked on tobacco that we know of. And he wasn't a man given to drink either. But Paul was a Pharisee. He was a man who dedicated his whole life to obeying the commandments of the law. But he was an addict. This is where I come from. He was an addict from. He was an addict to ambition and recognition. You see, Paul was first called Saul. Y'all remember that? And as Saul, he was a defender of the faith of the Jews. And he loved the idea of persecuting Christians. And he was constantly going before the high priest to obtain letters of authority to kill, to maim, to imprison every Christian he could find. See, Saul was fighting the battle against God, and he was trying to win the battle that he couldn't win. See, he couldn't do anything to overcome his desire for recognition and power. In fact, he saw nothing wrong with the way that he was living and the things that he was doing. Isn't that something that we can get so wrapped up in the sin of this world, and we don't see nothing wrong with it? Isn't that something? Go back 30 years and try to get away with something then that's going on now. You wouldn't have fared too well. I look back at our churches from where they've come over the years. I look at God's Word and how it's being preached from the pulpit. Things have changed and not for the best. In fact, he saw nothing wrong with the way that he was doing. It's a sad thing to see most of the world living for the devil and fighting in his army, not realizing what they're doing. And no one could admit that they were fighting against God. Every man in his right in his own eyes, because he's blinded by the truth. See, his truth is that unless you're living for God and serving Him and working for Him, you're fighting for the devil. Saul was soon going to come face to face with a war that was raging around him that he wasn't aware of. So he was fighting on the side of Satan, and he was thinking that he was doing God a favor, but he was going to meet the Lord on the road to Damascus. Wonder how many of us think that we're doing God a favor. And really, when it comes right down to it, we're just muddying up the water. I can just look at God sometimes, and I just imagine He's probably up there saying, "David, would you just be quiet? I'm having to straighten this mess out." You know, He'd have a lot more time to work on y'all if He wasn't working on me so much. I keep His hands tied. He was fighting on the side of Satan. It was there in the middle of the day when he was knocked off his horse into the dust by true light from heaven. See, Jesus knew that Saul was a sincere man and sincerely wrong, even though he thought he was right. And Jesus also knew that Saul's sincerity needed some direction. And I think a lot of times that's us. We're sincere about what we're doing. We just need some good direction. But we tend to depend on ourselves and not what God's direction is for us. We keep looking through our earthly eyes when we need to be looking through the eyes of Christ. But you can't know what the eyes of Christ are unless you get into God's Word. And it will reveal what God's eyes are like. You'll see what God desires for you in your life lies in these pages. If there was ever a question that you didn't have an answer for, I'm telling you, this is the cheat sheet right here. This has all the answers to it right here. All you have to do is dig them out. Saul didn't know who he was fighting for, but he soon found out. See, it took the power of God to break through his blindness and to shatter Saul's addiction. And it still takes the power of God to truly break any addiction today. See, with God's help, according to Jesus, in Mark 9:23, it says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." See, when Saul gave his heart to Jesus on the road to Damascus, God changed him completely, made him a new creation in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, Saul's addiction to power and ambition to the chief among the Pharisees came to an end. It broke down forever by the power of God. And from that day on, God gave him a brand new name. It changed him completely, including his name, Paul, and a new purpose to preach the gospel. Imagine now, we're talking about someone who has done a complete change in life. Can you imagine going from a lost state on the drastic end of it to a saved by grace state to a drastic end on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
Think for a second what some of his friends might have been saying.
Great.
Well, he must have lost his mind. When he fell off that horse, he must have bumped his head. He ain't been the same since. How about you? How about you and your friends? What do they think about you? Have they even seen a difference? I pray they have. See, all that had been in the past was forgotten by God and forever. And forgiven. See, the blood of Jesus had washed away every sin, and Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and power. See, he kept fighting the same war between the worlds of good and evil, but now he was on the right side for a change. I get to thinking about serving God or serving the world. You know, I believe that they're here at TMI that we're serving God, and when God loving, fearing, and shouting and praising people show up, God shows up and God shows off.
Yeah.
I've seen in our fellowship that serving God can be compared to a bug being drawn to a light. Everybody is so eager to talk about God's love. And they want to dwell on that. And God's love is awesome. See, some of God's Word is love and grace and mercy. But then on the flip side of that, there's another side. And it's God's judgment and God's wrath about sinfulness. People's lives are changed when these things come to the surface. I think we all need a revival in this country right now. But more than anything, I know we need to see our Lord and Savior move among His people. I hear people. I hear the TV preachers. It seems like everything revolves around me, me, me. They say, come buy my DVDs and buy my tapes and buy my trinkets. Send millions of dollars to me every month, and you attend my church and crusades and revivals and watch me religiously every day on TV, and you talk about me, me, me more than you do Jesus. See, when my crusade comes to town, you stand in line for hours in the heat and the cold and the rain to buy tickets to see me, me, me. Mm-hmm. There's many false prophets and false teachers out there. Characteristics of false shepherds, teachers, prophets, according to the Scripture, is this: they appear harmless, but they're not. They're extortioners and robbers. They come to extract a price from the sheep. They're capable of showing signs and wonders, and they're able to deceive. They bring in a slow and gradual introduction of heresies. They cause people to despise and to speak ill of the truth. They use false emotion and pretend to be affected by their own words. They cleverly craft their words to have an effect in order to deceive. They traffic in sheep and use them for their personal gain. If you want to be able to determine who's real and who's not, then look at the end result. Same goes for a church. If you want to see your effectiveness at your church, then see what the byproduct is. Do they preach the truth of God's Word? Are people really, truly getting saved? Are lives truly being changed? See, this is the meat. This is what we were sent out there to do. Are people getting delivered? Are people getting set free? See, Jesus died on the cross for our sinfulness. They nailed Him to the cross on Calvary. And not only did He die, but He died a horrible death. He suffered a horrible beating. He was spit on. His beard was plucked out. They whipped Him, they kicked Him, they put a crown of thorns on His head, they stuck a spear in His side. The list goes on and on and on. See, if Jesus preached the same message that most ministers preach today, He would have never been crucified. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sad? See, the Bible does not say we should aim at numbers, but rather urges us to faithfully proclaim God's message in the boldness of the Holy Spirit. See, this will build God's church. In Matthew 16:18, it says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So we got to stand on the truth. We got to preach the Bible under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we can't twiddle-dee around about God's Word anymore and what His will is in our lives. In the story we read earlier, we see that Paul and Silas are battling the forces of darkness as they walk the streets of the city. They were going about doing good, praying and ministering. But Satan never stops trying to win the war. So even in the simple things of living for the Lord, they are still in the midst of the war. See, let that be a lesson to us all. Don't ever think that the war isn't raging just because life seems to be good right now. See, your next battle with the devil is just ahead. So be ready for it. The girl that followed them crying out that these men are the servants of the Most High God, and they are here to show us the way of salvation, she wasn't there to be part of their evangelistic team.
No, she was.
See, she was fighting in the devil's army. Against them, she was doing everything she could to play on the ego of the former addiction that Paul had for recognition and power. See, what she was saying sounded good, but it soon became evident that her intentions were nothing but bad. See, sometimes we can become involved with people on the job and in a relationship that seems so right in the beginning. We can see nothing wrong. But before long, something just don't feel right anymore. It's called the power of discernment, where the Holy Spirit living in you begins to warn you that everything is not as it looks like. Now, I want you to notice, it wasn't until Paul got annoyed, irritated, and bothered, until Paul eradicated the situation. See, we need to get bothered and annoyed when the sin is in pursuit of us. This girl had been following them, had been saying all these things. I kind of look at it as like a little dog nipping at your heels, you know? And finally, Paul said, "Enough's enough." And he turned to her. See, when the disciples finally rebuked her and cast the spirit out of her is when they really discovered just how much they were involved in a war. Satan's forces came out strong through the people who were around them, especially the men who were making money off of the demon-possessed girl. Did you notice that it said men? It wasn't man. It was plural. I want you to think just about this one case. Here she is working for these men. How many lives have been touched by this very same scenario? I want to tell you something happened here tonight out here on this lot. I kept noticing this black Impala driving around the lot, and I've seen it here the past couple weeks, and it kept pulling up to cars and stop, pulling up to rigs and stopping, and it would go down here and stop, and it would go down there and stop, and it's like I would stop it and talk to a driver, hand him a flyer, I would leave and they'd pull in. They were selling tapes, CDs and DVDs, black market, and pornography. And it's like we're working the same area, you know? We got one for good, and we got Satan right there. He's constantly nipping at our heels, trying to take our witness away. Wherever we try to sow good, he's trying to sow bad. He wants so bad to collect the seeds that we drop and to put them on the rocky soil. That's what he wants. It was happening right here. But I got news for you. It happens everywhere. I don't care where you're at and you better be on the lookout for it. The disciples were beaten. They were tortured and then cast into prison and put into chains, locked away to be forgotten. How about you? Have you ever been cast aside by your friends because of your stance for Christ? Did they look down on you because of your Christian life? Or did they look down on you because you serve the living God? See, don't expect them to understand. It's a spiritual issue. And only those whom have a spiritual connection will understand. Satan plays for keeps. He meant to destroy the disciples completely. See, his methods are subtle most of the time, but he can be as confrontational as he wants to be, and the battle gets harder. See, he's perfectly happy to allow the little girl to do his dirty work for him. Her sin could destroy the lives of many. But right now it had been interrupted. But now it was time for the big guns to go into action. Sometimes living for the Lord ain't fun. Sometimes God allows things to happen to us just that we don't understand. Paul and Silas may have thought, Lord, we were doing our best, so why are we in jail? It's okay to ask questions. I'll tell you that here tonight. But then we need to accept the answer and to leave it in God's hands. See, nothing can happen to you that God don't know about. It hasn't taken God by surprise in any form or fashion. See, like Paul and Silas in the jail, God will make a way for you to escape the traps that the devil will lay for you. You may face some strong temptations to fall into your old life, but don't quit. Keep fighting. All of us face temptations, but that don't mean that you've got to give in to it.
That's right.
And even if you fail, and all of us may fail from time to time, God don't give up on you. He says in Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." See, Jesus paid that debt for your sins. His blood washed away that sin, that from the past, from the present, and for the future. See, you can't do nothing that the blood of Jesus can't wash away.
Amen. Thank you.
All you have to do is repent of that sin, ask for forgiveness, and then get up and walk on your way serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I want you to listen carefully here. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is in common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Let me add something right here, because this is one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. Do you know that? They say God will, this is what they tell you now. It says God will not put more on you than you can handle.
That's right.
That's where this is the verse they get that from. Mm-hmm. And it's not what the verse says. The verse speaks of temptation and you not being tempted more than you had the power to overcome.
Right.
That's what the verse is about. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." See, as an extra bonus of their faithfulness, God gave them an opportunity to preach the gospel to the very men who held them in the jail. See, the jailer's whole family was saved. All of us here have been victims of addictions of one form or another. And any sin that controls your life is an addiction. And only the power of God could break the hold that sin has on you. And if you're here tonight still battling with your life, God is here to set you free. So you're not here by accident, but by appointment. God chose to lead you here tonight to this little chapel and to this fellowship service so that you could be set free once and for all. We're in a spiritual battle. It's a war of the worlds of good and evil. We've got to ask ourselves, whose side are we on? If you're on the Lord's side, then there's only one master that you can be fighting for, and that's Satan. There's no neutral ground and there's no fence straddlers. It's either all for Jesus or it's all for Satan. Whose soldier are you on? See, the choice is yours. The victory can be won. You can join the only army that is destined to win. So why not surrender to Jesus everything? All the different areas of your life. Why not give yourself to Him? He loves you. He wants you to be on the winning team. He'll help you to overcome any sin, any addiction, or any habit. Jesus has the power to set you free right now and forevermore. What if you don't belong to a team right now? Or what if you don't belong to God's team? I mean, you belong to Satan's team. So how do you get in God's team? Ask for forgiveness. Confess your sins. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we have that sin on us, it affects us in such a manner that God can't bond with us. He has to take a step back. We have to come clean with that. If we want a relationship of righteousness through Christ Jesus our Lord, then we have to do something with the sin problem in our lives. We have to address that. We got to come clean. Hey, look, you know what? I messed up. I'm here to tell you tonight, I messed up today. I messed up yesterday. I don't remember what I was doing yesterday, but I'm sure I messed up. Ask Donna. I know, if you want a right relationship with God, then you've got to come clean. You've got to take care of the sin issue. Now, the way you take care of it, he says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. I want you to listen to me. This is a promise from God. He will forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you'll confess it. You're not getting by with it anyway. He already knows. It's just a matter of you coming to submission under Him. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. I don't know if you belong to Christ or not. But I do know that there's no reason to leave this building here tonight in a lost state. You've got the opportunity to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I pray that you don't waste this opportunity. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, then you shall be saved. For with the heart, somebody want to help? For with the heart, with the heart, anybody? Talking about Romans 9 and 10. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Okay? It's just that simple. It's about believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth.
Yep.
It's just that simple. We try to complicate it. This is the way we do it. We have a prayer of salvation. We pray it out loud so that we encourage the person beside us. And it goes like this. Dear God, I know that Jesus is your Son.
I know that Jesus is your Son.
And that He died on the cross for my sin. And He was raised from the dead. Also know that I have sinned. And I'm now asking for forgiveness. I'm willing to turn from my sins. And receive Jesus as my Savior. And Master over me. And thank you for saving me.
Thank you for saving.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.